everybody. Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I think we're going to have a great show for you again. It's not going to be as good as last time. Did you watch last show?
I did.
Did you? Did you
like the little? I think it's going to be better.
You think it's going to be better? We don't have the little Channel 9 guy this time, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to show up. Anyway. You've been gone for a while. We haven't had you in the show in a while.
I know, yeah. Well,
what's up?
I was actually in Nairobi last week as part of the Next Tech Africa conference.
I actually want to go there. We have a slide for that.
And I know. Yeah. It was actually a really fun conference, mm-hmm. and just immersing yourself in the tech culture in Nairobi, learning a lot about it. It actually was very exhilarating. Just, you know, it's a booming tech community over there. And I think one of my other highlights of this event was a new fellowship program that Microsoft launched, which is the East Africa Fellowship Program. And this is as part of the Global Insiders for Good initiative, where Microsoft actually helps local entrepreneurs who are trying to solve real world problems by helping them with hardware, software, or any mentoring needs as well. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. I actually never been to Africa, and I always wanted to go.
It's a beautiful continent.
Yeah, and then just talk to the community out there. It must have been amazing, so I'm very jealous.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So next time you have this opportunity, just let me know.
I definitely will.
Anyway, so, I mean, the video is also available online, right, for this
right,
to watch.
So Channel 9 actually has a lot of the conference videos or talks mm-hmm. that happen, so go ahead and check them out.
Great. Now, speaking of videos and stuff happening this week, if people missed it online, we have the Windows Developer Day happening,
right.
which was an online event with Kevin Gallo hosting this event. We talked about what's coming up in the next Windows update, which is the Creators Update, in terms of developers, what are some of the new APIs to talk about. Mm-hmm. He actually has a great blog post. I actually have it here if we switch back over to the blog post. So he talks about a lot of stuff. So if people haven't seen this blog post, it's a great summary of the whole event and has links to everything. So strongly encouragement. But he talked about all kinds of cool stuff. He had people from Adobe showing up the new Adobe XD application. And he talked about the desktop bridge a lot, which is all the new things we've done there and all the new apps that have shipped using the desktop bridge. And also moved a lot into what are the new devices coming up for holographic development, some of the three glasses and some of the new stuff that's coming up. And we're going to hear more stuff at GDC. We demoed the Cortana skills, which is really cool. And that's going to come up soon as well, so people will be able to do this with Cortana skills integrating with bots. And this is just a lot of cool stuff. One of my favorite things was Project Roam. Oh. We released the Android SDK for Project Roam. So now Android applications can actually do second screen experiences, or they can do the graph discovery of devices through Windows devices.
You can manage your apps from the Android devices as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a really cool thing. So it's available right now for people to try out. Talked about games, talked about new stuff that we have for Bash that's on the Linux subsystem on Windows, and talks about the new Pixtool. They had a cool demo on Pixtool where they did pixel-level debugging of a GPU application. It was really, really cool. So all these videos are actually already online. People can go and get them on Channel 9, view the videos, and there's actually a lot of sessions that we did. We did a session on the store. We did a session on the new composition APIs and just updates on the UX platform. So this is really cool stuff. We also announced release of the Windows SDK for Google Analytics. So now you can include Google Analytics in your applications. And we also announced you can use the Facebook app install ads. So you can actually have ads for your applications part of the Facebook timeline. So people can click install app and you can just install it. It's a great way to do engagement with developers. And one of the biggest things we also announced was the open sourcing of the Telerik controls for UWP. So everyone can now get those things like Data Grid and all some cool stuff that Telerik has. So it's really cool stuff. Again, everything is on Channel 9, so if you haven't seen it, definitely go and recommend watching it. We also have a really nice Q&A that Kevin did with a bunch of other different folks on answering some questions, et cetera.
It's a lot of stuff happening.
It was a lot of stuff there. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of events that happened, now we have more events coming up. And, you know, Microsoft has a lot of products out there.
I know.
So many anniversaries coming up. We just had the PowerShell anniversary coming up. And now we have a Visual Studio anniversary coming up. It's 20th anniversary of Visual Studio. And we're going to have a live event, a launch event of Visual Studio 2017 where we're gonna have all kinds of stuff and people talk about all the new cool stuff. So there's also an event coming up like that. So definitely make sure to put it on your calendars and check it out. It's gonna be super, super interesting.
Yeah. Continuing to speak of events, we have another event coming up, which is actually led by our MVP community. And the event focuses on AI, mm-hmm. bots, data science. It's gonna be a very interesting event. Encourage you guys to go check it out. And our MVP community, actually, there's another update for our MVPs where we have improved the award system for them. If you go to
That's right. I read about this.
So we've heard a lot of feedback from our MVPs that this area is quite confusing. Mm-hmm. And so we've made a bunch of improvements here. And you can learn more about it on the blog post. But starting July of this year, this is going to be a more streamlined process, and I'm sure our MVPs are going to be very happy about it.
Yeah, it's really cool. One of the things I read about here is that MVPs now get access to some of the Xamarin videos as well for training, and they get access to a lot of cool stuff for training purposes. Mm-hmm. We are streamlining the way that renewals work as well, so now they're on a yearly cycle.
Right.
So it's a great blog post if you're MVP or if you want to become an MVP. It's a great resource for that. Yeah. Exactly. Now, let's move on to Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code had an update this year. It was the first Visual Studio Code update, so it was a lot of cool stuff in here. So if you were using Visual Studio Code, it should actually automatically get it. It should be pop up, hey, there's an update, install it. There's really cool stuff here. My favorite one is the synchronized Markdown preview. So that way, as you're doing Markdown, and then the preview just synchronized it wherever you're scrolling
That's
and everything.
Cool.
It wasn't like that before. Now it works really well. There's a new welcome page, so it has all kinds of new details. Kind of like Visual Studio.
Like the Get Started
page. Yeah, exactly. kind of has all these different cool stuff.
Okay.
The interactive playground, we can actually try different things without actually messing with your projects. That's really cool.
That's cool.
And there's a great blog post that talks about all the cool stuff. I actually really like this way that what's new kind of thing the Visual Studio Code team does of all the new things. It just goes into details and a lot of really cool stuff. So it's a great resource for all the updates they do. I don't know what their update the cycle is, but it seems like they've been doing a lot of updates recently, which is really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
So next, let's shift gears to AI a little bit. Microsoft is continuing its investment in this space and the whole goal of around democratization of artificial intelligence. We talked about in our previous channel, or this week, Channel 9, that how the cognitive SDK was released to the developers. And as part of that, we were actually adding two new APIs, which is the content moderator and the Bing speech API. And now to make it easier for our developers when it comes to developing AI apps. So this is just one more thing towards making AI available for everyone and encouraging innovation in this space.
Yeah, and John talks a lot about how cognitive services, their mindset behind how cognitive services work. So it's a great blog post to read through about if you're using cognitive services or if you're interested in using of the democratization of machine learning tasks and all that stuff. It's a really great blog post.
It also has it also has details on how third parties are actually using the service. So it has a bunch of examples for that. So great blog post and a very detailed blog post. So definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Next, in AI, we've been doing, so AI is getting intelligent, but at the same time, how well AI works essentially depends on the training data that we use for AI. So the Microsoft researchers, and Allison talks about in the blog post, where how researchers are trying to make sure that the training data that we're using is the right training data, just so AI is better and more accurate. So the blog post talks about various ways we're trying to do that. So it's pretty cool. Check out the blog post. It gives one good example of how very simple thing like training AI to recognize dogs and cats and how you need to be careful in the data set that you're providing. So pretty cool. And it's just helping developers get a better AI API from Microsoft. So.
Yeah, I mean, the more we use AI APIs, the more we depend on them, I guess.
Right.
And then Ellison has a great point on how do we make sure that the data that we use and everything that we use is actually
accurate,
the right data.
Yeah.
So it's a great blog post. Now, picks of the week.
Yes.
It's that time of the show.
That time of the show.
Now, my pick of the week is actually very interesting. It's about the BioModel Analyzer. It's a tool that we use at Microsoft it's a cloud tool-based tool. Mm-hmm. That we use at Microsoft to model how cells interact and communicate. It's a great way to analyze how cells work and if there's any abnormal processes, et cetera. It's a great tool for researchers or for bio researchers. So it's not available on GitHub. So it's a great way to learn even how these tools are made, and anybody can take advantage of these tools now to use them. So it's right there. People can download the source code, look at the source code, and if you're a biologist, if you want to use this tool, it's open for everybody. Yeah. So it's a great
I think
great
the blog here. Even talks about how you can use this for a custom treatment for cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool, just by analyzing the cell interaction with different medicine, I guess.
That's right, yeah. Open sourcing any project is great because you can see a lot more different uses out of it from what you've intended. So it'd be interesting to see what other people do with this. It's really cool.
Yep.
Okay, your pick of the week.
My pick of the week is actually the Git virtual file system. A lot of people are using Git, and even Microsoft is slowly moving towards that. And one of the things that Microsoft noticed is that Git is actually not designed for very large repos. Like, for I think Windows repo is about 270 gigs or something
it's
like that.
Huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's not just about the amount of files it has, it's about the history of the Windows. Yeah.
And very simple commands like git checkout or git status take a really long time. Like checkout takes about 2-3 hours, I think, and status also takes a bit of a time.
They said clone takes about 12 hours.
So we developed a virtual file system. So what it essentially does is that it makes Git think that the all files are available there, and it tricks it into thinking that, which essentially has improved the performance a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas checkout now takes a few minutes, and status, git status, which used to take about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, only takes a few seconds like it should. So it's a pretty good improvement, and I'm sure developers everywhere will be very happy.
It's kind of like a OneDrive, where you have your files in your system, but you really don't.
But you really
it kind of grabs them as you need them, which is really cool. Because most people, when they work on the Windows, on Windows source code, they don't need everything.
They're only
working on a specific part of it, so maybe need like maybe 1,000 or so files, maybe more. But
so the files essentially are only open once they actually downloaded or used. So
And I think, is it open source? This or what do we do with it?
I'm not sure, but we should look into the blog post to check out if it's open source or not.
Yeah, definitely. But I think other people can take advantage of this as well, so which is really cool. Well, I think that's all the show we had. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. And hopefully we'll see you next week. Bye.